A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 259. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion of Chimera. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello again. Yes, an ITV science fiction horror series from 1991. 4 episodes of about 50 minutes each. And it's an intriguing mix of mad science horrors, a secret government conspiracy, I suppose they're all secret, and an escaped creature on the lonely and wild Yorkshire moors.
Yes, that's right. And it raises interesting questions, or deals with interesting questions, about embryology research that were very topical at the time, and perhaps reaches a little bit ahead into genetic research that was not quite happening yet at that point in real life.
Yes, it does. We'll talk about that in a little while when we get onto the science. But yeah, interesting and intriguing mixture here in this show, Chimera.
Yeah, so getting into things a little bit more, while the creature is holed up in this remote barn and being hidden away and fed by a couple of children who have befriended him, Peter Carson has also finally met up with Alison Wells, these two characters sort of pursuing the situation. And Alison Wells, who had worked at the Jenner Clinic, where this project was happening before the Jenner Clinic was destroyed, she reveals the details about this project and what was really being done at the clinic.
Yes, because as we said last time in our last episode, the Jenner Clinic, ostensibly a fertility clinic, but actually concealing a secret animal research laboratory where scientists were trying to produce a chimera, a genetic hybrid, the creature of the title, a sort of mixture of human and chimpanzee who is produced, it's said, for military implications. I think there's some sort of aspects of producing strong, almost, I suppose, robotic-like creatures that could fight. But there's, I guess, there's implications about organ research and other stuff goes on. But it was all destroyed in an explosion. There was a terrible accident. There were people killed. The creature escaped. The Detective Schaffer, who we mentioned last time, he's on the trail. But there's also a grieving husband whose wife died in the explosion at the Jenner Clinic. It's all boiling up, really, as we go along, Brian. There's a lot of players in the field, as it were, all on the hunt for Chad.
Yes, the tension is building and it's becoming more complex and more of these different players are becoming involved. The creature, the Chimera himself, known as Chad, is confronted in a farm and then escapes with Peter and Allison before being surrounded near a church. So we're sort of leading up to the climax here.
Yes, and I will just mention, you know, for a show that's got some influences, when I saw the church tower, I did wonder if we were going to get a King Kong-like sequence, which I can tell you we don't, but it had all the components, the ape-like creature, the attractive blonde who's befriended him, the journalist who's trying to get them away. But anyway, it doesn't quite go that way. It goes in a different way. And, well, we can't really say much more because there are spoilers.
The other thought would be a Vertigo-like sequence, but they don't quite go there either.
Maybe they couldn't use the church tower. They should have gone to one of those cathedrals that they're always using in the Ghost Story for Christmas.
Indeed. So we should talk a bit more about the creature itself. Chad, as it's called, the Chimera.
Yes, he is our creature, or the Monkey Boy, as the US version called him, which I'm still rather upset about. From the last episode. Yes, created in a lab. Interestingly, for the show that's got him in the title, I don't think we get a look at him until the end of episode 3, Brian. You know, he's just this shadowy character in the opening episodes. We see some of the things that he does from his actions, but we don't get a good look at the creature until quite late on in this show.
Yes, we get very brief glimpses, and as the show progresses, later on, we get much more. So Chad is a human-chimpanzee hybrid, a genetic hybrid, very strong and very dangerous, quite aggressive at times, perhaps, or perhaps just being defensive, and we learn that he had been treated very poorly at the clinic. In fact, his screams and cries were very loud, and for the secret project. And so I think as an infant, his vocal cords were cut or destroyed, so he would no longer have a voice because he was being too loud, which seems a little strange, but it was something that was done by Dr. Jenner himself. So this is part of how we learn something about how Jenner was really not such a nice person.
No, not at all. You know, the kindly looking David Calder, but the character he's playing turns out to be not a nice man at all. And of course, it then leaves the problem of how you communicate with Chad if he can't speak.
Yes, and they turn to sign language. Apparently, for some reason not explained, Allison, it seemed, already knew British Sign Language or some form of sign language. So they teach him sign language, which in fact is some form of sign language that a sign language interpreter they bring in can understand and communicate with Chad. So we get from that Chad is definitely smart enough to be able to communicate with language in a very human type of way.
Yes, and as you say, particularly with Allison, the sympathetic scientist from the lab, who becomes more important as the show progresses. And, you know, as I said, we've had this sort of King Kong thing, the sympathetic, blonde, attractive female lead, who's the only one who sort of understands him and can talk to him and perhaps calm him down and talk him down from some of the situations that Chad finds himself in.
And we also have the creature reaching out to these children to form a relationship, which reminds me of Frankenstein, the original Mary Shelley novel.
Yes, of course. Yes. Trying to communicate with humans. And of course, the Boris Karloff film with that chilling sequence with the little girl. And Stephen Gallagher mentions in one of his interviews that the very first film he can remember being taken to see as a child was a black and white British film called Whistle Down the Wind, where a group of children find a man sleeping rough in the barn and sort of adopt him because they believe for some reason that he is Jesus. And that's an interesting reference. We have something similar here with the children sheltering Chad in their barn on their remote farm where their parents live.
There are definitely some interesting influences here, and I think they're fairly well used.
And of course, we've got the creature suit and the creature head, the effects of actually producing the Chimera for us on screen.
Yes, they had the movement artist Douglas Mann in the suit doing the sort of moving around in a sort of ape-like way, but meant to be a little bit human as well, I guess. And the head and the face were operated with animatronics, with remote operators controlling how the face and the head would move.
Yes. Now, it's interesting, you know, it's practical effects on screen. I don't think there's anything digital or CGI on top of this at all. I think it's all produced, you know, in the real world, as it were. It did remind me of the creature effects for another show that we've covered, a 2007 version of Frankenstein, which I believe was also on the ITV. And that had, you know, similar sort of effects. And I suppose it is slightly dated because it's from 1991. It does show its age a little bit. I think I still prefer practical effects to CGI creatures. What did you think about the man in the suit and the mask, Brian?
I thought it worked rather well, actually. It definitely looks very chimp-like and definitely has some sort of behavior and a bit of look to it that is a little bit more human and sort of not quite right. So I think for what they were doing, I think it worked quite well.
Okay. I did wonder whether in the novel, as it were, Chad is revealed earlier than in the TV show, and whether they were sort of holding him back for effect or because they weren't quite so sure about the effects. But anyway, there he is. He pops up clearly at the end of episode 3, and we finally get to see what we've been talking about.
Yes, absolutely. So we should get into a little bit about this sort of science gone wrong idea. Very popular in science fiction and horror, always looking at science and technology and how things might go wrong if they are pushed too far. And we have that idea in Quatermass with space exploration, in The Edge of Darkness with nuclear power, sort of mind control type things in Undermined, and The Prisoner gets into that type of thing. Very much in nuclear weapons in both The War Game and Threads, and in Chimera here, and also in the 2007 Frankenstein, we get into the ideas with genetic manipulation. So there's some very popular and interesting ideas there.
Yes. So popular culture, we know, it always reflects the concerns of the day in society. It does provide a mirror to sort of, you know, reflect back on us some of the stuff that we're worried about. And where better to do that than in a science fiction horror show on the television, covering something that was very topical at the time. And it's a trend that continues today. You know, we still see it in more recent shows, Brian.
Yes. And speaking of mirrors, there's a series called Black Mirror, which gets into quite a bit of that in many of its episodes.
Yes, we've just not long been talking about that in our last shows. You know, Charlie Brooker's look at what we do with our mobile devices and our communications and our televisions, the black mirror that sits in our rooms and reflects back on us. So, yeah. But as I say, always interesting stuff. And it certainly seemed that Chimera struck a chord with viewers. There was quite a lot of interest from the TV and Radio Times. There were articles. Stephen Gallagher noted that several tabloids picked up on one particular image from the show, which showed a series of Chimera babies in incubators. And that image apparently appeared in the tabloids because at that time, when this show was being made in 1990 for broadcast in 91, also in 1990 here in the UK, we had the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Act was passed that sought to define what scientists could do in terms of embryology research, how long they could keep embryos, what's, you know, all the important registrations that labs had to go through in order to do this work that was connected with fertility treatments, but also, as we know, with several other medical advances, stem cell research and so on. And of course, it was hugely controversial. It was a big issue in society at the time here in the UK. And I suspect the same across the pond, Brian, you know, because embryologists were pushing what they could do, society became concerned. There was a certain degree of tabloid media panic, I suppose, about, you know, scientists were going to be creating monsters and they had to be restrained. And of course, here in the UK, government legislated, although the, you know, the HFEA is a fairly sensible and reasonable piece of legislation, I believe.
Yes, it's interesting because a lot of these issues have continued to be issues or issues that have come back in the years since this. And the idea of these sort of advanced genetic techniques and doing things like combining DNA from different species to make chimeras and this sort of thing. These sorts of things have become a greater issue because they've become more possible and more things have been done with them. So in some ways, it makes me wonder, was this show ahead of its time in terms of some of the issues it was describing?
I think it was, particularly when we think that it was written in 1981 by Stephen Gallagher. So he was really, you know, anticipating the future and what our, you know, society's concerns were going to be. Yeah, I think, you know, well done, Stephen Gallagher. You picked up on something and you produced a very interesting show. The science parts of it, you know, there's very clear description of what a chimera is. They're slightly woollier about how they actually do that, how they actually do it in the lab. But I thought it was very clever that they used a fertility clinic as the cover for this operation because, you know, under the Human Fertilization and Embryology Act, a fertility clinic would have to be registered. So they would have a government license in a way. Now, obviously, that license didn't cover what they were actually doing behind closed doors. That only perhaps Dr. Jenner and the mysterious Hennessy from the ministry knew about. But fascinating stuff by Stephen Gallagher. Well done, I say.
Yes, there were definitely some interesting things there. I think some of the things they did in it and the idea of maybe Chad would have been able to speak, but his vocal cords had been destroyed because he was too loud. Some of that kind of thing seemed a little bit odd. But there were a number of things in here that really did seem pretty authentic in how they were setting things up and how they were projecting what might be possible with the chimera.
Yeah, interesting stuff. You know, and when they have the incubator scenes and stuff like that, it all looks very realistic. I seem to remember when we discussed October, there were some very peculiar medical instruments on display, which I thought were completely wrong. But they don't seem to do that here in this show. The medicine part of it all looks fairly authentic. I don't know if you had any other sort of observations, you know, from a scientific point of view, Brian.
It was interesting to see how they were putting these things together, for sure. So we should get, we have a little bit already, but we should get a little more specifically into our own reviews and thoughts about this. So, Eamon, what did you like about Chimera?
Well, I have to say, two creators that we think quite, you know, highly of. We've enjoyed Stephen Gallagher's work on October and particularly on 11th Hour. We're huge fans of Lawrence Gordon Clark as a director. So in terms of the writing, I think in terms of the look, where they shot it on the Yorkshire Moors, technically all very well done, I thought. You know, the actual look and feel of the production, all pretty good. What did you feel about the sort of trappings, the production of this show?
I would agree that it's quite strong. They did some very nice stuff to get the look there with the clinic and with the creature, and these locations they were using helped add to that. So all in all, I would say in the look and feel, pretty strong stuff. And I will add that the science and the examining of issues there were a couple things that felt a little bit off, but for the most part, pretty strong stuff, and I was impressed.
Okay. The performances here in this show, Brian, what did you think about the actors?
I thought they were adequate. They were okay. There wasn't much that sort of jumped out at me. Although David Calder certainly was very good, and it was interesting to initially meet him as this, you know, rather sympathetic fatherly character, and over time to then see more glimpses of him as someone who was not at all sympathetic and doing some very morally dubious things, if not things that were out and out wrong. So he would be the most interesting performance. All in all, the performances were okay.
Okay. I mean, like yourself, I like David Calder. I thought that was a very intriguing version of Sinister that he delivered. Kenneth Cranham, perhaps more a traditional villainous figure as the government spook who controls it all. But two fine performances there. John Lynch as our protagonist and George Costigan as the police officer. I felt perhaps not given much to do in a way. There was an awful lot of sort of running around and chasing leads, but without getting very far, and sort of conversations with covert journalists and so on. In some ways, it was like All the President's Men or an X-Files episode where you have to speak to Deep Throat and find out some government secrets. And for me, there was a little bit too much of that, and I wanted to get to the creature a bit earlier on, as you probably gathered. I wanted to see Chad a bit earlier on in the series.
Okay, so getting into more negative things. And I think you were getting at this. I think this has something of a pacing problem and a sort of story structure problem. A lot of the ideas and many of the characters and how they were written are really nice in this. But story-wise, it felt like it meanders a little bit. There were some nice surprises, but it was not quite as compelling as it should have been, because the pacing was off and it sort of meandered for a while. And as you say, by the time we finally get to seeing more of the creature, it really moves. But until then, it sort of seems to meander quite a bit in terms of story and pacing.
Yes, it had a third quarter problem. The fourth quarter's great. In fact, there's probably too much in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and it may be that had this been cut to be a little shorter, although maybe not in the American 104-minute version, which I haven't seen, but it may be that being done a little bit shorter or having the pacing handled a little bit better, a little bit differently, might have helped with this.
Okay. I will give kudos again to Stephen Gallagher for being absolutely on point with his concerns about modern science and reflecting society's fears back at them. And something that he would go on to do very well in 11th Hour, which, you know, is a series we did enjoy with Patrick Stewart and Ashley Jensen. And of course, had a different cast for the American version. But yeah, we did enjoy that one.
Yes, absolutely. There were some interesting depictions of scientists in this. Some that were, quite good and, and quite interesting, and others that seemed a little odd to me. There was a point where one of the characters takes some information to a third-party scientist, a woman who is not involved in any of this, and asks her to help interpret what was going on. And it was a nice sequence, an interesting way of doing things, a nice character, but her reaction as to why the Chimera idea was useful seemed a little strange.
Yes, as ever, the slight motivations behind this government project, how they intended to weaponize the Chimera, were slightly vague as ever. But there you go, that's what government scientists and government conspiracies do.
That point about the motivations of the government scientists, but this third-party scientist, when asked about why it would be useful, talks about the idea that we could make these chimeras as human as they want to, as we want to, but because they're not really human, we could do whatever we want to them without any concerns for their rights. Which seems like a very odd response from someone who is apparently involved in animal research herself.
Yes, a very morally ambiguous stance to take there, I'd have thought. But there you go. Contradiction in terms.
Yeah, and you would think she would have known about the issues and regulations and things that that existed. So there were some strange things in some of the perspectives. I liked the, you know, clearly amoral perspective of Dr. Jenner and the sort of struggling with things perspective of Dr. Allison Wells.
Yeah. Okay. What about, let's get to the creature feature, Brian, because I suspect we're slightly different on this one. What did you feel about the design and the actual delivery of the creature?
I thought it was actually pretty good. I thought it gave the impression of the chimp part of things quite well. And as far as engaging in the story, as much as the creature was used, I thought it worked.
Okay. It gave me a few more problems. I could see the sort of the joins, as it were. And I thought, you know, obviously it's nearly 20 years later when we get the Frankenstein, which I think had Julian Bleach inside the suit, if I remember correctly.
I think that's right, yeah.
That worked, I thought, better in Frankenstein. But there you go, it's much earlier on. It's 1991. They had the budget of TV and the effects of the time. It's not bad. I just wanted slightly more from the suit and the mask, I'm afraid.
I could understand that. That does make some sense.
I will at this point try and clear up the confusion that I perhaps caused in the last episode by talking about another show, because there is a show from, I think, 2 years earlier on the BBC called Firstborn, which starred Charles Dance, now of Game of Thrones fame and many other things, of course, which looks to have a similar sort of theme. And as you know, our listeners know, Brian, we like to cover shows that are available to buy. And so last year when we were looking at our schedule, it was Chimera that was available on Amazon and Firstborn appeared to be unavailable. But of course, since we purchased the DVD and put it on our schedule and roster, that seems to have reversed. So that now Chimera is looking like secondary marketplace only, whereas Firstborn is now listed again on Amazon, and as such I've ordered a copy, which might make for an interesting compare and contrast later on, who knows. Or maybe one of our listeners has watched both shows and could deliver a verdict for us on Facebook. But that's what I was hinting at rather awkwardly and confusedly in the last episode about this strange reversal in the availability of these two shows, which possibly have similar themes.
Yes, Firstborn was a BBC show from 1988, so just a few years before Chimera. So yeah, could be an interesting one to look at a later date.
Stay tuned. Who knows what's coming in future here on British Invaders.
So I think maybe it's time to get into our recommendations. Eamon, why don't you go first on this one?
Okay. I'm going to give it a cautious thumbs up. I think it does have a third quarter problem. There was a bit too much sort of government spookery and on the run stuff with Peter Carson as opposed to on the run stuff with the creature. So I did want more of the creature, even though I did have some slight problems. But if you can get hold of a copy reasonably cheaply before the DVDs disappear completely, I'm going to say a cautious thumbs up. But I'm really interested to now go and watch Firstborn, if I can fit it in with all the shows that we've got coming up this year. Quite a lot of stuff to get through. But anyway, in summary, from me, a cautious thumbs up on Chimera. Do let us know what you think. But Brian, what about yourself? What's your feeling on this one?
I'm going to be pretty close to that. It's an interesting show that has some really neat stuff in terms of the ideas and some nice character portrayal and things. But the story and pacing tend to be a little bit of a mess. So I'll give a cautious recommendation on this. If you can get a hold of it, it's kind of fun. It's worth a watch. It's interesting to see. But it's not something that I would put at the top of my list. It's not something that would get a strong recommendation from me.
Okay. But an interesting one, and certainly one, you know, who knows? We might be coming back to it in the future and talking about it again. Or, as I say, if you've got your own views on Chimera, well, the Facebook page is the place to find us.
Absolutely. I haven't mentioned yet, it is the only show that we've covered where the DVD has a pronunciation guide for the title to tell you how to pronounce it on the cover.
What more could you want?
You can't beat that, right?
No, absolutely. Yes. Tell us how to say the strange word. Presumably there wasn't a pronunciation guide on the American Monkey Boy version.
I would think not, but who knows?
Yeah.
So, in summary, Chimera introduces us to the Jenner Clinic run by Dr. Jenner, where a young nurse, Tracy, is starting to work there at this fertility clinic and starts to wonder what these strange things that are happening there that she doesn't know about are. There is a research project of some sort happening, which we gradually learn involves genetic research in animals. And before we learn too much, the entire clinic is actually destroyed in this fire, and we are then chasing after what happened and what was going on, and introduced to the idea that they were doing genetic hybrid work, mixing the genes of chimpanzees and humans to create this new creature, which is a chimera, in this case, given the name Chad. And we follow through as different groups of people are trying to discover or suppress information about this, and we have a chase for Chad himself, who has befriended a couple of children, and this leads towards this tense conclusion to resolve what happens with all of these players.
Expertly summarized, Brian. And yes, interesting show. So come back next time. We're going to switch. We're going to take a slight gear change from this very serious to the rather silly. Perhaps we're looking at a show from the early 70s, ITV again. It's Robert's Robots. Well, we'll get to it next time. It's interesting stuff again, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. Getting into comedy involving robots. So, yeah, interesting stuff to talk about for sure. But before that, you can find us and all of our past episodes at BritishInvaders.com. Or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group, where we have lots of fun discussions about things related to British sci-fi and TV.
Yes, come and join the fun in the Facebook group, and also join in at Voice of Geeks internet radio network. That's vognetwork.com. British Invaders, one of a host of shows. We go out on Mondays and Tuesdays, but you'll find lots of other interesting stuff for your oral pleasure there.
So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us again. And this is Eamon in England, hoping that our listeners will indulge me, because I've always wanted to say, take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.